You got me, bro? That might help.
It's always use your error, isn't it?
That's how Steve rolls.
Well, I hear people talk of heaven, how it's only for the precious few. But in the book that I've been reading, sounds to me like there's a lot of room. So I bet some folks are gonna be surprised about who makes it to the other side. 'Cause in the heaven I'm headed to, there's a place for preachers, thieves, and prostitutes. Saints and soldiers, beggars, kings and renegades. For any soul that ever found amazing grace, ain't no telling who on earth he might include. In the heaven I'm headed to, it's not my place to say just who does or doesn't get to go. I'm only one among the many struggling down this narrow road. There's so many things in this life to love, but I believe it's hope for each of us. 'Cause in the heaven I'm headed to, there's a place for preachers, thieves, and prostitutes. Saints and soldiers, beggars, kings, and renegades. For any soul that ever found amazing grace, ain't no telling who on earth he might include. Heaven I'm headed to. And the only thing I know is we all get the chance to go. 'Cause in the heaven I'm headed to, there's a place for preachers, thieves, and prostitutes. Saints and soldiers, beggars, kings, and renegades. For any soul that ever found amazing grace, ain't no telling who on earth he might include. In the heaven I'm headed to, heaven I'm headed to, yeah.
Thank you. And we'll have more of that music on Friday night at 7 p.m. Let me call your attention to our scripture passage for this morning. And please locate your Bibles, or if you look on the back of your worship bulletin, it's also going to be on the screen. I want us to share it together in context, and then I will read it from another translation that is more familiar. It comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 28 to 30. Let us prepare our hearts as we read God's word together as the people of God. Let us share. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This is from, of course, Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. Listen to these words from the King James translation, same text. And then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you, it's a question, a Wesleyan question. John Wesley would ask his followers this same question. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. How is it with your soul? Amen. I want to share in context and call your attention to this passage of scripture, because Jesus is sharing with his disciples and followers. If you look at the whole volume of Matthew chapter 11, you immediately notice that he is concerned about one of his disciples, known to us as John the Baptist. John is now in prison, and so Jesus sends words by his other followers to encourage John in the midst of John's disappointment and imprisonment, to tell John all that they had seen, all that they had witnessed concerning his life and ministry. Then, if you notice, next comes on the scene the leaders of that day who were really trying to trap Jesus and ultimately get him arrested and killed. Then you'll notice right before this passage of scripture, Jesus is actually having a prayer, thanking the Father for all things that he's placed under his authority. And then he shares in these last few verses, Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. He shares an invitation, and all of us have been invited one time or another to different places, different outings, different settings with family members or friends. And he gives this invitation not to just a small group of people, but ultimately to all. And we're included in that all. And if you notice in this invitation, there are three verbs that highlights this invitation. One is the word come. The next is the word take. And lastly, learn. And so I want to ask you this question and call your attention right here to our first bullet point. When was the last time you felt really close to Jesus? Felt really close to Jesus, extremely close. And of course, I'm not just talking about the worship setting in which we're in now, because this worship setting is a setting that is structured. But I'm talking about even in private devotional time, do you make sure with all of these gadgets that you see here on the screen, and they're very good, do you make time, intentional time, one-on-one time with God? That devotional time that's needed to thank him in the midst of whatever you're going through, in the moments when we're on the apex of the mountain or in our valley lows, do you continue to worship God, to give him thanks, to give him praise, to give him adoration, to give him the opportunity to minister to you? Now, I must confess, I don't know much about this family. I know more about the Remstead family and their three grandchildren who are seated there with them. I'm not very familiar with this family. Maybe you are. I'm not even going to try and research too much. I've heard a lot about them, and perhaps for those of you like me, you probably don't keep up with them that well. In fact, I must confess, Brad, when I go to the barbershop, they're not even on the television. We're watching SportsCenter. But perhaps you've heard of this name, the Kardashians. Yeah, some of you have. I figured that. It was in the USA Today newspaper, and it was a response about a quote from Kourtney. And The View, those of you who watch The View, those ladies had to respond. Listen to this conversation that was printed in the USA Today newspaper. I don't want you to think I'm against the Kardashians. Kourtney Kardashian turned age 40. It was far too much for those who were on The View not to respond. She was complaining to her sister. She was complaining to her sister that she had so much, but still wondered if she was content in life. Well, the viewers of and those commentary ladies on The View had to respond. Kourtney has all the money, all the opportunity, life advantages in the entire world, and yet she's out of touch with reality. She needs to do some self-reflection and inventory. End of quote. Isn't that amazing? Here's a young lady who has all the money, all the opportunity, known nationally and internationally, and yet at the age 40, still wondering, does my life have contentment, have peace? And perhaps she's not the only one. Maybe someone here is struggling with that as well. We live in perilous times and seasons of troubles, and we hear about wars and rumors of wars. It doesn't take long. But yet, there's an invitation that I want to remind you of here in this passage of Scripture. We even have folks who look day in and day out how to find a way of taking others' money, others' opportunities away. We even have people who will stop everything that they're doing, and even their own physical lives, they don't mind putting themselves in harm's way just for a few coins. Perhaps you don't know what I'm talking about, but I want to share in this video. It occurred in July the 11th of this year. Now, mind you, it had nothing to do with Linda and I going to Atlanta, Georgia. Put that down. Amen. But this is what happened in Atlanta, Georgia on I-85. Watch this.
Cloudy with a chance of cash.
I still don't believe it, like now. It's crazy.
Bills littered across a busy highway in Georgia.
You have to be stupid not to at least grab some amount of money.
Police say that's what at least 15 people did, dodging traffic for the dough after an armored truck's side door opened and $175,000 spilled into the road.
Yeah, I would definitely reach down and grab a huge handful and just keep going.
What would you do with it anyway? Okay, you'd have to go and say, okay, I got 175 grand in my closet.
Police say some people, like this guy, have returned anywhere from $1 to $2,100, but still only a fraction has been recovered.
Well, by the time the police officers arrived, everyone was pretty much gone with the exception of the armored car driver.
Now they're asking for the money grabbers to come forward because it's considered theft. But police promise there will be no criminal charges.
Never in a million years would I thought this would have happened here in Dunwoody.
A rich reality, of which a lot was caught on video, so sticky fingers beware, anything's possible. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Lisa Wojtycki.
Literally stopping because the armored truck opened and $175,000 went out of the window and all on the road. Can you imagine trying to do that? Don't raise your hands, amen. But it's a clear reminder that God doesn't bless us that way, to take money that doesn't belong to us. You see and notice that one young man returned whatever he could retrieve. But God promised to open up the windows of heaven and what? Pour us out blessings we won't even have room enough to receive. Look at this passage of Scripture from Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. It is a beautiful passage of Scripture if you like to write that down. Malachi 3:10. God reminds us that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings we won't have room to receive. Let me thank you for trusting God. So much so, let me call your attention to the right because I wasn't here. We received over $100,000 with our matching funds. Give yourselves a hand. Praise be to God. That's trusting God. God wants us to find our place in life and to follow him. Recently, Linda and I had a chance to see the movie, and perhaps you've seen it as well, The Lion King. How many of you have seen The Lion King? Yeah, great movie. There's a beautiful illustration in there of a father and son relationship, Mufasa and Simba. And he reminds his son to what? To take his place in the circle of life. We are called to take our places in the circle of life and do what God has called us to do. He has gifted each and every one of us. And I love, and perhaps you're familiar with it as well, it came out in 1994, but it was a good reminder. It says, Hakuna Matata, no worries. Leave your what? Worries behind. Well, that's on the big screen. Look what, how Jesus refers to it in the text. He says, come. It's an invitation. Come unto me, all who are laden and heavily laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Our next question is this question. What is a soul? What is a soul? I'm glad you asked. The inward being of body, mind, and soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. Nephesh. Nephesh reminds us that indeed we have been created by Almighty God. And one of the best illustrations of this nephesh, if you have your Bibles, look at the 119th Psalm, verse 175. Now, we normally don't refer to it as chapters because it's part of the singing, the Psalter. But if you look at Psalms 119, 175, it is indeed the longest volume of work in the Bible. And that 175th Psalm verse reminds us that our nephesh should praise God, should worship God, and should give adoration and thanksgiving to God. We're reminded in the Bible, and you've heard as Rhonda was playing, one of the great passages of Scripture, Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 33rd verse, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. Our souls are extremely important. If we're looking for our souls to go to that heavenly place that Glenn was singing about this morning, then we must acknowledge God and make sure our nephesh, our soul, our whole being are sold out for God. For God is the one who created our souls. If you don't believe that, I have the citation here in Genesis, the 2nd chapter and the 7th verse. It is a clear reminder that indeed it is God. God breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living what? Soul. Even David refers to soul in Psalms 23. It's right here. He restores my soul. If you need your soul restored, if you feel weary, if you feel alone, know that God is with you every step of the way. Amen. Our God doesn't abandon his people. He continues to be with us every step along the journey. I want to call your attention to the next bullet point. It's this bullet point here. Jesus gives us this invitation. Jesus reminds us that this invitation is for all. Now, if you notice very quickly, and you can look on the screen, the first two deal with a command, and the last one deals with a process. The first says, come. Is an invitation to come. He's inviting us to come. You feel weary, you feel alone, you feel like no one's with you, you feel like life hasn't measured up to your expectations. He's saying, come. Why don't you come? Come and receive this opportunity. It's free to all. And he reminds us to come. But then Jesus shares another command. He says, take. Take my yoke upon you. Now, if you remember, if you've been watching a television show, or a good Western, if you will, you'll notice that an ox normally has around his neck a what? A yoke. And that ox must pull the wagon or pull whatever he's connected to and continue to pull. Many times in this day and society in which we live, we try and take yokes that God hasn't required us to pull, and then we get frustrated, we get burned out. But yet he's trying to remind us, take my yoke upon you. Why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're reminded each and every day to continue to read and study God's word and continue to have devotional time with him and spend good time with him. But he moves from a command to now a process. And it's a process that one must continue to make day in and day out. He says, learn on me, learn about me in other translations. He is reminding us to learn more about him day in and day out. Come, bring your yoke with you, the yoke that I've given you, and learn of me. Learn how I want to take care of you, how I want to sustain you, how I want to keep you. Let me close by giving this illustration. It is an illustration as it relates to a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Horatio was a realtor, but he worked for Dwight Moody. Horatio had a wife and four daughters at that time. He experienced the Chicago fires, lost everything. But yet his family had a trip that was already planned to England. Horatio was planning to go with them, but because of his responsibilities, he had to stay, and he sent them on. This true story reminds us that no one knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man shall appear. It is well documented that when this ship that his wife and four children were on, it hit a rock, and in 12 minutes, it sunk. There were some survivors. His wife survived, but the four girls died. She sent a cable back to Horatio with these words, saved alone, saved alone. He immediately stopped everything he was doing to go and join his wife. But when the ship got to the place that he was on, where his four daughters were killed, Horatio took out a pen and a paper. And he penned these words, hymn number 377. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows rolls, whatever thy lot has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. In the midst of his pain, in the midst of his grief, he was still praising God. And because of that, he received more inspiration, more closeness to God. And he made a difference along with his wife, a significant impact upon the Christian family. And even this hymn continues to sing out today because he trusts in God. Are you closer to God today than yesterday? I hope it's well with your soul. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Let's get